Let's turn in our Bible this morning to one of perhaps the most familiar portions of the Word of God that Baptists look at and think about, especially independent Baptists, the book of Matthew chapter 16. We want to read verses 13 through 18. And our subject today, a little different than you may have heard messages brought on this portion of the Word of God. Our subject is my church or someone else's church. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 18. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The Lord Jesus Christ left us, folks, with no doubt whatsoever from these verses that he was the creator, the organizer, the architect of his church. If faithful and serious Bible students will simply read this portion of the Word of God, they will be able to conclude that concerning the history of the Lord's church, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the creator, is the organizer, was the architect. Now we, as Baptists, use this statement of his to remind ourselves and others from time to time, and us preachers use it a lot in sermons, and Sunday school teachers use it a lot to teach about Jesus being the author, the originator of his kind of church. Now in today's world, where there's a, if you will, a multitude of denominations that call themselves Christian denominations, we need to be founded on the fact that the Lord Jesus established his own kind of church. Because, folks, whether we like to admit it or not, whether it makes us uncomfortable or not, all of those, what we call as Baptist Protestant denominations, can be traced to a founding father who was a man. And that's a realistic fact that we have to deal with, whether it is unpleasant, whether it is unpopular, and whether perhaps a lot of our Christian brothers and sisters out there in other denominations like it or not. It is the bare fact of the truth of the Word of God. And we need to always be aware of that and be ready to stand for that, because it's important about service that God's people, wherever they are across the planet, know where their service is accepted. And not understanding about the Lord's true church is a difficulty that a lot of people bear up under today that I believe are saved but belong to those denominations and places of worship that are not the Lord's churches. Now, we sometimes use this statement to remind ourselves and others also that as hard as the forces of evil may try, they cannot make headway against our Savior's churches. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, a lot of Bible scholars use that verse to look in both directions, and they say, yes, you can look at that verse and say that the forces of hell can assail the Lord's church all that they want to, but they can't make any headway against it. Or you can say, when the Lord's church begins to assail the barricade, the walls, the gates of hell, the gates of hell cannot stand against the Lord's churches in their motion forward in spiritual things. Now, folks, that last viewpoint on that, if we see it that way, it gives us a great surge of faith, I believe, to step right up and be at the place we ought to be in our faithfulness in our service to the Lord. We often feel threatened. We often feel weakened by the forces of the devil out here, And because of that, sometimes their testimony isn't as strong and as salient and as powerful as it ought to be. But we need to remember that the Lord's promised us that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But today, I'm going to call our attention to two words out of the Lord Jesus' statements that I want us to think about and maybe think about them in a little different way from how we've been thinking about them most of our Baptist life. And I want, those two words are my church that he said there. Upon this rock I will build my church. Now, as I've already suggested, we use Jesus' statement here to remind ourselves and others that Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, church was established and ordered by him. Everything was set up for the church by him. And we use the words, my church, to emphasize that doctrinal truth. But how many times have we thought about the possessive idea that Jesus presents to us here when he says, my church? How many times have we thought about it in terms of a framework where we say, you know, the Lord Jesus, in the very use of the words there, has indicated a kind of possessiveness about his assembly, his body of baptized believers. And in using that simple way of saying that, he lets mankind know that the church he is referring to is viewed by him, I believe, as a special and personal thing in which he has a special and personal relationship to that particular organization or institution. And may I say that wherever a single one of the Lord's churches exists, that same idea fits. He has a special and personal relationship with each and every one of his churches. My church, he says. So I want us to think about for a few minutes this way of personalizing something. Namely, I want to focus it kind of on personalizing the church. Now, to start out, let's just think about how we personalize things in our own life. Just normal day-to-day things of our lives. Let's say that you're at Walmart and a lot of shoppers there today. You leave Walmart with your purchase in your hand. You walk out the door and you forgot where your car is at. And you're wanting to find it. When you get ready to look for your car, I'm sure that sometimes you may say, now where's that car? But most of the time you say, where is my car? Where's my car? And so you'll begin to search for your car. Maybe you've got one of the little fobs that you can mash the button on, sets off the alarm, and you can find it that way, which is real handy. But even in those cases, you're thinking, now where is my car? And so you never think of saying, where is a car that I can drive home? Because that could be any one of them. If you want to bust the window and get in there and hotwire it like they do in Hollywood. Of course, you know that hotwiring a car is just a simple matter of running two wires together. Because Hollywood tells us it is. Folks, trust me, that's a misrepresentation altogether. But the point being, when you are thinking about your car, it's my car. That's personal. It's a different from every other car out there in the parking lot. There may be another one, same color yours, same year of yours, of the same model and the same make, but it's not a personal thing to you. But your car out there in the parking lot, you've personalized it. My car. And, you know, let's say that you're at a public event and of course there's a lot of activities to be done at that public event, and your kids and your wife are off somewhere doing something. You were over here talking to John about something that y'all were interested in, and it's time to go home. You'd never think of saying, I've got to gather up a few people out of this group here to take home as a family. You know, you'd say, I've got to go find my family, wouldn't you? That's personal. You wouldn't be thinking about, some other stranger's family as being the one you gather up to take on. It's my family. I've got to go find my family and get them up. We've got to go home. That's the way you'd think about it. So that's a very personalized way of thinking about your car or your family. And a lot of things in our lives fit exactly that kind of frame. For instance, if you had a real sore foot and you were sitting there looking at your foot, you wouldn't say, somebody's foot's sore. You'd say, my foot is sore, wouldn't you? That's real personal. That's about as personal as it gets when it gets down to being something that's actually connected to you and you recognize it in a very personal, close way that that's my foot that's hurting there. You wouldn't talk about Jack's foot hurting if it was your foot hurting. Somebody's foot's hurting. Well, maybe somebody's foot is hurting, but if yours hurting, it's my foot hurting. You understand? That's what you'd be saying. So that's the personalization that I want us to think about this morning. Now let's turn to the idea of the internal workings of the human mind that produces this kind of personalized thinking. Because I'm going to turn that, if the Lord will help me, to thinking about the church in those personalized ways. Now, let me just say this to start out. In my years of attending church and belonging to several churches, I've always met two kinds of church members in every church I've ever been in. By two kinds of church members, I mean that not that there's just, you can easily categorize them into two groups, but in this respect you can. Those two kinds of church members that I've met are those who thought of the church in two different ways. There's always in any church, anywhere, a group of members that think of the church in terms of that church, when they're talking about the church they're a member of, or the church, when they're talking about the church they're a member of, or those folks down at the church, when they're talking about something that people have done at their church. That's one group. There's another group of church members that always talk about their church as my church, or our church, or we folks down at the church. That's the other group. These two groups show up in every church that I've ever been in. It's just the nature of the beast that when you look at a congregation of people anywhere across the planet, you find people can be classed out into those two kinds of classes. Now, if you think about the different way that my two groups of people that I've described here thought about and referred to the church that they were members of, are you able to see that behind that way of thinking about a congregation of people that someone's a member of, they lay an important distinction out in the open for us to study and think about. They expose, by those two different ways of looking at a church, they expose two different viewpoints, if you will, about how people see churches. And that's, folks, that's one of the most important things that we as God's people and as church members of any church anywhere really need to get a handle on. So let's try to do that this morning. Let's realize that there is an important distinction between the two groups I've described, and let's try this morning to understand what those distinctions are. Now, the first difference I think that these two kinds of viewpoints show us about people, the first distinction, the first difference, I believe, is it shows us that there's a difference in attitude about the church of their membership. A difference in attitude. One says, that church, the church down there, those people at the church. The other group says, my church, our church that meets down there, and us at the church, we folks that are members of the church. That's the two distinctions. The my church and our church and we in our church group, I believe, testify of a kind of commitment to the Lord's church where they're members. Mark that, because it is the great distinction between the one group and the other. They apparently, by referring to things in a personalized way, remember the car? Remember the family at the public outing? Remember your foot hurting? They have personalized how they see their church. And so that personalization by itself, I believe, is evidence that somebody's made a commitment to something. You can only say my car because you know about the title in your pocket or in the safe deposit box at home, and you know about the registration in the glove box, and you know what the title and the registration cost you. You really know nowadays what it cost you. And so you personalize it because you've got an investment in it. And so there's a difference in that the my church, our church, we in our church group show that they have a commitment to the Lord's church where they're members of. But I believe those of the church, that church down there, those people at the church are of the kind of individuals that do not have such a commitment or probably don't have such a commitment. And they also, brothers and sisters, have a kind of detachment from their church. It's kind of like there's a little wall. It's not real thick. The wall may even be transparent where you can see through it. But there's a little wall there. My church, our church, we, members of the church, or that church, those people at that church, the church down there. That's the difference. Now, as we think about this difference between the my church group and that other church or that church down there group, I think that this difference in looking at a church and having feelings about a church expresses an attitude of people, I say again, that have made an investment in the Lord's church that they're a member of, or they have made no investment in the church that they're a member of. I think that there's a real clear line that can be drawn there between the two groups of people. Now, how about some observations about the results of these two differences in attitude? I hope we've clearly seen that I am making some inferences, brothers and sisters, some inferences about how people refer to their church. But if I'm wrong, then I'm totally blind, because I believe it's the way God's people, and I'm talking about saved people now, folks. I don't have a thing to do with lost people that are members of a church about pointing to the right versus the wrong. If they're wrong, if they're lost, they're wrong altogether. But saved people, we can find in any church, anywhere, any one of the Lord's churches, among the saved people of the church, both of these attitudes. That's the point that I want to be clear about. So what about, what happens? What do we see as a result of these two differences in the Lord's churches? Now, I'm going to say some stuff this morning that might get close to home for every one of us. But you know what? I hope it does get close to home to every one of us. Because if it doesn't, you'll go out of here unblessed by the message, and I'll be charged by the Lord about it. I hope that it does touch each one of us in one way or another. Now, that said, let me just say, first of all, that those who have the heart, the ownership, the personalized feeling and attitude about the Lord's church to say, my church and our church and we in our church, first of all, I think they will have a capacity and a willingness to make personal sacrifices for the church they feel this personal way about. Let me say that again. I believe those who use that kind of language have the kind of heart and have the capacity and the willingness to make sacrifices for their church. I believe that's one of the identifying characteristics that you can find in them. And I believe that, I'll just go ahead and say the whole thing. I believe that those who say that church, the people down there at that church, and so on like that, do not possess that capacity. They could get it if they're saved people. So don't imagine that I'm saying, well, they'll never be able to get it. I'm not saying that at all. I'm talking about attitudes here now, and I'm talking about the fact that God's children can have two different kinds of attitudes. And I hope I can close by talking about how the wrong attitude can be remedied. But the my church, our church, and we in our church group will have a capacity and willingness to make personal sacrifices for the church they feel personal about. That's something I think you can just mark down. And the my church, our church, and we in our church group will, I believe, too often look for the kind of participation in the church they are members of that causes everybody to want to get involved and make some sacrifices. I believe that group wants everybody in their body, in their membership, to be sacrificial in heart, to be willing to be put out in heart. I believe that's what they want. Those that are of the other group, talking about that church down there, I don't believe will be willing to do anything that makes demands on their own schedule, anything that makes demands on their own objectives, anything that makes demands on their own perception of what they enjoy and want to enjoy, and they are not willing to allow folks to make demands on them to participate in anything that detracts from their own personal objectives. Folks, I believe that's what we have going on there in the second group. And as sad as it is, I believe it's true. The distinguishing feature of God's people who have personalized the Lord's church to themselves is the willingness to sacrifice. Now, we find that also as a member of the group that thinks in terms of the church as that church, or the church down there, or they who are down at the church, can be a kind of like confident that they are doing all the right stuff. So folks, it's not like I don't believe God's people that are members of a church and have joined in good faith, I don't believe that they are just saying my way or the highway. I believe that in most cases they're blind to what they should be doing, or at least partially blind to what they should be doing. Now, when you think about this difference in attitudes, let me just give you an illustration those people down at that church group. If I'm of that group, I can contribute a whole lot to the church and its activities and the things it does and what it wants if they'll allow me to contribute hunting. Now, let's just say deer hunting as one of the contributions to the effort put out for the church, because I love to deer hunt. And it doesn't detract from my love to do stuff to contribute. I mean, let's imagine if they said, Brother Bob, we want you to hunt for the church. And we'll consider that to be a great contribution. Well, I'd say, yes, sir, let's go. Why? Because it doesn't detract from my personal objectives. That'd be what I'd want to be doing anyway. Now that, folks, if folks are in the attitude that it's that church, the people down at that church, and have that second kind of attitude I'm talking about, they'd be willing real fast to do something that they enjoy doing anyway for the church. But that's not sacrifice. And we need to be aware that it's not. So, yeah, if I'm asked, let's say the church said, Brother Bob, and I'm of that group that says, that church down there, the church, and don't have the heart to say, my church, our church, us brethren at the church. Let's say they said, Brother Bob, I want you to fish for the church. I want you to go catch a bunch of fish for the church. Now, you might imagine that's a sacrifice. But hey, I love to fish. So I say, yes, I'm out of here. Got my fishing poles in the truck. Because it's something I enjoy doing. I'd sacrifice all day, folks, like that. And there's a lot of people that if you can get them to do something for the Lord's church of that other group, that you can get them to do something for the church, that's something they love doing anyway. It looks like they're the greatest workers in the church you could ever imagine. But they're not. We're talking about the difference between sacrifice and giving of self when it's not convenient, when it's not your objective, when it's not the thing that pleases you necessarily the most in the flesh. That's what we're talking about. I want us to think about the real Christian attitude about our ministries to our brothers and our sisters in the Lord's church. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, at verse 15, Brother Paul gives us in a real condensed format the attitude that we ought to have. And if you listen to the words that he wrote there, you come to realize that giving of that which you already want to do anyway is not giving of yourself to the ministry of the Lord's work in His church. It's not. It doesn't take a personalization of the Lord's church to give something that you just already love doing anyway. But listen to him, 2 Corinthians 12:15. He said to the church of Corinth, and I will very gladly spend. What? You're going to put out something that's valuable to you, Brother Paul, for the church? I will gladly spend, and I'll go a step further than that, Brother Paul says, and be spent for you. There's the heart of a child of God that knows how to be sacrificial and how to do it in the way that truly is giving, sacrificing, making a personal commitment to the Lord's church. Now, we sometimes make the mistake that Brother Paul in writing that was writing about attitudes that preachers, pastors, missionaries ought to have. But let me just say right here and be very clear about it. This kind of attitude, this principle that he set forth, it wasn't just for missionaries or pastors or lay workers. It was for every member of every one of the Lord's churches wherever they're found. That principle is a teaching from the Word of God that every one of us need to take to heart as our own. I will very gladly spend, and by the way, folks, doesn't mean just this. It isn't about money. It's about possessions. It's about effort. It's about energy. It's about taking of oneself and finding out what one can give to the Lord's work among the people of God and personalizing it. That's what it's about. I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Now I want you to notice also in this verse that lays down this great principle by which we should live, that there is a hidden danger among the people of God related to this kind of sacrificial willingness. And that danger is there's a risk, a very definite risk, that the less thankful folks among the people of God will go cold toward those who do sacrifices. And that's found in the last phrase of this same verse. Listen to how he said it. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Isn't it just human nature that the more we give out, the more we try to do and help people, the more we're taken for granted? Are we not really aware that old adage that's been around for perhaps centuries, familiarity breeds contempt, really generated from that very concept related to mankind, that the more we love, the more we express love, the more we do for folks, the human nature is just prone to take it all for granted. And pretty soon, making huge assumptions that somebody owes somebody something. Folks, that's what happens sometimes. And it can happen in churches. So let's be warned, there is a danger that the more we sacrifice, the more we try to give, the more we do for the people of God, there's a danger that among some of those people, we'll be taken for granted and they'll become less thankful toward us as a result of it. Now, this is the truth of God. Now, let me also say that those who say my church, our church, and we in our church, personalizing the Lord's church, will have their hearts burdened by the attitudes of those who have what I called earlier that detached view of their church. Let me say it again. I believe God's people who have personalized their relationship with the church will be burdened by those who have a detached, impersonal relationship with their church. They'll be burdened by it because they want everybody. God's people who have personalized their relationship with their church, they want everybody to participate, everybody to have something that they feel is valuable to them in church. They want everybody to personalize, to come to the place to say, I love my church, this is my church. If you've been seeing those signs around Benton County, been driving around much, some churches start giving out signs, I love my church. And I don't know what they're being talked to about to get them to put it in the front yard, but you see them sticking in these front yards of these certain houses as you drive by. And I see them all over Benton County. Folks, let me just tell you something about that. I love my church. I've kept a mental kind of record about the places where I'm seeing those signs in the yards, and I know for an absolute fact that the majority of those places I've seen those signs, that on Sunday those people are nowhere near a church. We'll figure that one out. So you see, they say, I love my church, and we've got people all over the land that say, I love my church, but I believe the real test, the acid test, the litmus test is, have we personalized our relationship with our church? And if we hadn't, those who have will be burdened by the fact that they have some brothers and sisters who have not. Those who say, my church, our church, and we at our church will think about the spiritual and fiscal welfare of their church as being their personal and fiscal welfare. Let me say that in some other country boy terms. Those who have personalized their relationship with their church have a feeling that when the church gets spiritually down, they'll become spiritually down. Not as though they would be drugged down by the church, but they'll be burdened with a spiritual pain when their church suffers things that causes it to get in a state that we might call spiritually depressed. When a church is blessed with great things, whether it's addition of members or an increase in the financial ability to run the church or anything that we view as being some raised kind of situation for the church, those members will get all excited and optimistic also. That's the way we do. And you know, the Bible teaches Paul taught the Corinthian church that that's exactly the way it goes. Those members, any members that mourn, we mourn with them. Any members that rejoice, we rejoice with them. That's the principle there. And those who personalize their church, they go with the ebb and flow of their church. Do you see how important it is to maintain a good spiritual vigor, your personal self? Because if you're that kind of an integrated person in your church, and you're saying, my church, our church, you can affect the very spiritual condition of the church by your own spiritual condition. And then when we think about these things that happen as a result of these two different attitudes, those that say, my church and our church and we of the church, I believe we'll always see the church as a source point. I call it a source point. A place, if you will. A source point to reach the lost and to reach the down and out. And to reach out with the word of the gospel. Those that have personalized the church will see it that way. We'll actually interact with their brethren with the congregation of the Lord with that in mind. Gospel outreach. How to help people to see the great wonder of the Lord Jesus Christ. But those who say that church and the people down there at the church and the church, those people, I believe, many times see the Lord's church, even though they're members, as a source to tap, as a source, a place to get something. And folks, there's a real critical point right there. I believe that churches ought to always be able to minister to their members. And I believe every member has a right to a kind of ministry from their church. And they'll get that ministry if the congregation says, my church, our church, we of the church. But you ever let a member start thinking of the church owing them something? I'm not just talking about money, folks. I'm talking about even spiritual things. You let a member start thinking, well, they owe me something. They need to be helping me. It's good to feel that way if it's an honest one, and such a person who thinks that way is able to come to the pastor or member and say, I need prayer. I've got a problem here. I just want to talk to you about it. That's great. But to get a resentment and to be like this toward your church because you feel like they owe you something and you don't feel like they're fulfilling what they owe you, folks, that's that church, them people down at the church. That's the kind of attitude that's flowed into somebody's life, and it's the very thing that wrecks fellowship. And so, how we view what the church has to offer and what we can offer to the church so it can have something to offer, important. And there's an important distinction between the one group and the other. Well, we've got so much more that we could cover on this subject, but I think you at this point see where I'm going with all this. And I want to just close by suggesting that there are ways that we can rectify this in our membership. If we have situations, any church anywhere has a situation like this, one of the Lord's churches can rectify it. And first of all, let me just say a few things about the person who has that second kind of attitude, that church, the people down there at the church, the people that have that kind of attitude, what they can do. And that is, first, realize, for a person like that needs to realize that he or she has been brought into the assembly of Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. That's a huge step in the right direction for people who have an attitude like that. And second, people like that can realize that they are an integrated part of the Lord's body, the church. It's not like they're an amputated leg or an amputated hand or finger. It's they're a living, physical connection in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thirdly, I believe that folks who may have that kind of attitude can realize that they have a specific assigned purpose by the Lord, or else they wouldn't even be members of that church. I believe they need to recognize that. When they do, it'll kind of clear the air in their minds and hearts about how they can personalize their church and their church membership. And then I believe that those who have an attitude like that need to realize that every true member is fitly framed together by the Lord to function not as a whole bunch of independent organs, but as a unified body working together for the common cause of the gospel ministry and for the edification of one another, all and sundry, together, and each and every one. That's the way the Lord's got it set up. And the last thing, I think, and it's not the last of a list I could generate, but it's the last thing I want to make note of for this group, is that those people who have that second kind of attitude can open their hearts to the congregation that they are members of. In other words, all they've got to do is take the mind of Christ that Christ has given them and look around a little bit and listen a little bit, and lo and behold,
They'll discover an entire universe of ways that they can bless their fellow members and bless their church and personalize with their church. Well, what can those who have the proper personalized attitude about the Lord's church do? Well, the first thing they can do is make all the members feel welcome. Everybody's different, folks. They are. And I have to commend this church on this, that you make every member feel welcome. And I believe you do a great job in making every visitor feel welcome. And that's great, because that really is the first step for those who have personalized their church to themselves. And then those who feel that way can make sure that they listen to the other members that are telling them something, and listen to what those members are telling you and I about themselves. Worst thing we can ever do, folks, is we start listening to a member and we jump right to our own experience. We got to watch that. We might think, well, I can do my brother or sister good. I've already been through that. You can't do them any good if you go right straight to your experience about it and start explaining what kind of a deep experience you had and what your solution was. I'll tell you how we can help a brother and sister and even more personalize the church that we're a member of, is by listening.
Amen.
And having sympathy and empathy with them as they tell us what's going on. You ever notice that if you're too quick to jump right in to what's happened with you and your experience, that it shuts people's mouths? They'll get to where they won't even share anything with you, because they know you're going to run right down the me road. No, personalizing one of the Lord's churches is saying, my church means that it's me that's important, but it's you and you and you and you that's important too. And lo and behold, equally important with me. That's critical, folks. And when we do that, we really have personalized our church. We have really made the church a personal thing to us, and we've made each member of it personalized to ourselves. And then we can go a step further on that by examining our own attitude toward other members. You know, it's easy. All these quirks and strange ways of thinking and behavior patterns that we meet with from different members of our church, it's easy to get off on the wrong foot about your attitude about a church member. And some members actually promote a bad attitude in us by the way they act and do. And so it becomes a great temptation to not fall into that snare of getting a bad attitude toward a member, to the point that we can't personalize with them. Now, folks, at this point, most churches today get to the place, and I hope I don't ever hear any pastor saying this, because I don't want to hear them say it. I'll know they're wrong. Churches get to the point where they say, oh, we can't say anything to anybody about anything they're doing, because it's, you know, we'll hurt their feelings, and they'll get mad and quit coming. Folks, could I ask all of you a question? And you know that I love every one of you with all my heart. But could you answer this question for yourself in your own heart and mind right now? What does rebuke, reprove, and exhort mean out of the Bible? What does it mean? If I keep quiet about something that I feel like I might guide you into scriptural truths about how to do and how to act and how to live and how to think, and I don't do it, guess who's guilty? Right here. And so let's not imagine that this thing of examining our own attitude about other members is the preacher warning you not to ever say anything to anybody about anything. Now, it turns out, if your attitude's right your presentation will be a whole lot better than if your attitude's wrong. If your attitude's bad toward a member, you're just as liable as not to hurt their feelings, to say stuff that causes schism in the body. But if your attitude's right, and you've been praying for that member, and you're looking for them to receive the level of blessing that you yourself want to receive, I believe you can get it right, folks.
Amen.
And instruct them with love and get something done for them that they may not even have a source to get done any other route. So we can examine our attitude toward other members. And then we can do a self-test on what things we do in giving our life to the Lord through His church. Do a self-test and ask yourself things like this. Do you just do just the things that you like to do for church members? Oh, yeah. I'll take you out to lunch at Ponderosa. Because, hey, I love to eat at the buffet. And I'll go anyway. Is that really sacrificial, folks? Don't think so. Somebody says, you're right in the middle of the most favorite thing you do every day. And somebody calls up and I've got a problem. A real problem. I need to talk. I can't talk right now. I've got my best project going right now. Click. Do you do things other than what you already enjoy doing anyway in your service to your brothers and sisters? That's the question that you have to ask yourself when you do your self-test. Do you put yourself out, in other words, for church members, even in things that are unpleasant but necessary or important for them? Now, folks, don't make the mistake of running way afield with this and imagining that the preacher is suggesting to you that whatever a member calls upon you to do, you jump right up and go do it. You know, members are bad about making good judgment as much as one member is as much as another. And you can have a member, or you yourself can just make a poor judgment about what you, I just got to have it right now. I just got to get this done right now. And somebody else looking at it may say, I don't think so. It doesn't look like an emergency to me. It doesn't look like a crisis to me. You can wait. And if you're honest, you'll share that feeling with your church member and love them anyway. But we don't want to assume that what the preacher's saying is every time somebody asks the smallest little thing and the most absurd little thing or the most absurd big thing for you to do, that you're to jump up and go do it. No. Use the wisdom of God and you'll do the right thing. Do you pray for the improvement of church members' attitudes toward the church? God's people everywhere need to have the heartfelt personalization that says, my church, our church, we down at the church. They need to be able to say that, and we need to pray for them that they'll get there. And then, are you, a little more self-test, are you open and honest with fellow church members and seeking to help them step up? I've already hinted at that just a minute ago. But let me remind you that if you're not willing to risk a little bit and in love offer something to others that'll help them move beyond where they are right now, then you're cheating them by not doing it. And last of all, as a church member that feels like you've personalized your church, think about what things other church members do for other church members and ask yourself this question. How do I stack up against other members with what I am willing to take on for my church members in our church? Very important question. Part of the self-test. If you ask yourself that and you're honest, you might be surprised what you come up with by way of results and answers. But that's all part of the Lord leading us into the right way of truth and giving us the kind of light we need to personalize the large church that we're members of. Make it a personal thing. Upon this rock, I will build my church.
says our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.